Okay, tonight we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 16. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. We're going to be talking about the subject of wisdom tonight. Do you ever make bad choices? You buy things that were a waste? Or do you eat unhealthy food? Do you think about immoral things? Do you get tricked by salesmen? Do you make foolish decisions? Do you react without thinking? Do you dress to impress people? Are your hairstyles worldly? Are some of your friends ungodly? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you need wisdom. And this evening we're going to be answering three basic questions about wisdom to help get us heading in the right direction this year as we start this new year. And Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 10. We're going to read verses 10 through 16. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. Verse 10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flatters with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto the death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness." As we look at this passage tonight, I want us to notice, first of all, to answer the question, what is wisdom? We're going to look at three basic questions. The first question is, what is wisdom? Well, I like to define wisdom as the God-given ability to make right choices. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. A person who lacks wisdom will govern his life or her life by foolish decisions. And so we need that wisdom. We need the God-given ability to make right choices. And as we look in the book of Proverbs, we find 32 verses that contrast wisdom and foolishness. Now, we're not going to look at all of them, but I want to just point out a few of them here tonight so we can get a feel for what he's talking about here. Proverbs chapter 10, for example, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 14, says, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." So he says, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Same chapter, Proverbs 10, verse number 23, says, "It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom." Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Proverbs 14:1. "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Proverbs 14:16, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." So in these verses we see a contrast. This is just a few of the 32 verses that contrast wisdom and foolishness. They're opposites. They're the opposite extremes. And God says we need to have wisdom. If we don't have wisdom, we're going to be foolish. And if we are foolish, we're going to make decisions in life that will hurt us, and they will be harmful to us. Now, wisdom is practical and God-centered. The Bridgeway Bible Dictionary states, "The wisdom that the Bible encourages is concerned with the practical affairs of everyday living rather than the philosophical theories." All right, so he says here that wisdom that the Bible speaks of deals with practical things of everyday life rather than philosophy. It isn't just about philosophy, it's about the practical things of life. And also the Illustrated Bible Dictionary adds that wisdom is a moral rather than intellectual quality. It's a moral quality rather than intellectual. But that it means that a smart person may not be a wise person. All right? It's a moral issue. It's not just an intellectual one. There's a lot of smart people in our world that are foolish in their actions. They may be smart and intelligent, but they don't make wise choices in life. They don't use wisdom in their decisions. And so God wants us to be wise. Now, wisdom then is the God-given prudence or skill. It is the word wisdom has that idea of prudence. It has the idea of skill, carefulness in guarding our choices and being skillful in making right choices. It is practical understanding of matters relating to this life. So it's the dealing with the practical things of life. It enables a person to make right choices in everyday living in every area of life. So God wants us to be able to make right choices in all the things that we do day by day. And so it is practical. Wisdom is practical. It's more than being smart. It bases its decisions on God's word rather than human opinions and logic. You know, we tend to have a desire in our flesh to make our own choices, make our own have our own opinions about things. And many times we base it on logic. We say, well, this makes sense, and therefore that's what I'm going to do because this makes sense and this other choice doesn't really make sense. But, you know, sometimes the things that make human sense aren't biblical and they're not what God wants and they're not the wise choice. Now, wisdom can direct us in every area of life. Now, let me give you some examples here. God says that the wisdom is a practical thing for every area of life. Wisdom can direct our choice of words, our choice of actions. It'll help us to choose the right thoughts. It can direct our attitudes. It can direct our actions and our reactions, I should say. It can guide our purchases, the things that we buy. It'll help us to make right purchases. It can help us in choosing our friends. So if we're a wise person, we'll choose friends that will help us and not hurt us. And it will help us in choosing our entertainment so that we choose entertainment that pleases God and will edify our soul rather than harm us. Wisdom can reveal God's mind concerning the choice of clothing. You know, what are we going to put on? What are we going to wear? Wisdom will help us to make the right choice so that we do that which is modest and pleasing to God and honors the Lord and is not involved in honoring the world's philosophies of unisex and things of that nature. It will help us in choosing our phone apps. You know, all of you who have mobile phones, you have apps on your phone. And how do you choose what apps to put on, what apps not to put on? Some of them aren't very wholesome and helpful, and we need to be careful about that. We need wisdom. It'll help us in choosing our hairstyles. God says that a man should have short hair and a woman should have long hair to glorify God. And it'll help us in making right choices. It'll help us in choosing the foods that we eat. You know, many people are not well today because they choose the wrong foods to eat. Or they have chosen wrong foods in the past, and as a result, now they're having to live with the consequences of that. So we need to be careful. Choose what is right. Wisdom will direct us in making right family decisions. There's all kinds of family decisions that people need to make, and we need wisdom. It'll help us in solving marriage difficulties. When a couple is going through struggles and they're having some difficulties, wisdom is needed to be able to make the right choices and the right decisions so that they will be able to solve those marriage complications in a biblical way. Wisdom can help those who have studied to remember the right answers. You know, we can't expect God to just give us the right answers if we haven't studied for our exam. But if you've studied, God's wisdom can help you remember those right answers for that exam or test or quiz or whatever it is that you're involved in. But wisdom is practical, and it applies to every single area of life. My life and your life. Now, that's what I want us to see here tonight, is that God wants us to have wisdom so that in every area of our life, doesn't matter what the area is, whether it be something personal, or something our interaction with other people, whether it be our the way that we look, the way that we act, the things that we do, the things that we entertain ourselves with, every single area of life needs wisdom so that we make the right choices. So as we've looked at the first point here tonight, we've asked ourselves the question, what is wisdom? And we found that wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. And so being a God-given ability to make right choices, we need that because wisdom is the opposite of foolishness. If we don't have God's wisdom, we're going to make foolish choices, foolish decisions, and do things that are not wise and are going to hurt us in the long run. Now, let's answer a second question. A second question is, how can I get wisdom? How can I get wisdom? Well, I think the first thing is we need to acknowledge there's a need. You know, before that we will ever seek wisdom, we've got to say, I need wisdom in my life. A person that doesn't see that they need God's wisdom is not going to look for it. And they're not going to find it if they don't look for it and search for it and strive to get wisdom. And so God wants us to realize that we have a need for wisdom. And that we must humble ourselves and admit that we can't make the right choices by ourselves. We need God's help. And that is the first step in getting wisdom, is to acknowledge that we have the need. But then also we need to identify God as the only source of wisdom. You know, wisdom does not come through education. We've already said it doesn't have to deal with intellect. It's not dealing with the information that we gain through studying secular subjects. It's not a matter of how much intelligence and brains we have, but the source of wisdom is from God. And as we examine Bible verses regarding wisdom, we'll see this over and over again in the Bible. The Bible tells us that God is that source of wisdom, and that's where we need to turn to. Let's look at just a couple of verses here this dealing with this. One of them is in Psalms, Psalm 111, verse number 10. Psalm 111, verse number 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commands. His praise endureth forever." So here it says that the fear of the Lord, to fear God, to have that respectful awe and fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have wisdom until you have that. All right, we find the same thing over in Proverbs chapter 2. All right, we're in Proverbs chapter 2. Look up at verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So we see here that God is the one that gives wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We see also in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Almost exactly what we read over in the Psalms. But here it says that the fear of the Lord, that respectful fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all begins. You've got to have that in order to have wisdom. Why would that be? It's because God is the source of wisdom. If we don't fear God and respect God, we won't come to Him in desire to learn from Him. It's like when we are after information. If we're trying to get, let's say we're going to buy a car. If we were going to buy a car, you don't want to go ask advice from somebody that's got an old clunker that hardly runs and it smokes and it spits and sputters and carries on and it runs terribly. And you go to him and say, "Hey, you know, can you tell me how to buy a good car? You know, one that runs really well and it won't cause me any problems." It's probably not the right person to go to. But we go to someone who can give us some guidance, someone who knows about cars, knows how to keep them running properly, knows how they operate. And so we go to that kind of a person because that person has the skill and wisdom we need to be able to help us in this area. So the same is with God. In order for us to come to God for wisdom, we've got to say, God has the answers that I need. And He's the one that's wise enough to give me the information I need. So I need to go to God to find that information. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 3, we see there it says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He didn't say some, He said all. He says in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's interesting that He calls them treasures because the wisdom that we need God says it is like a treasure. It's one of those things that you have to search for. You have to look for. You have to work to find it. And it's a valuable treasure when you find it, but it's not just laying on the surface. It is something that you have to find. And so in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. James tells us in chapter 1 of his book, in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So God says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. So all of these verses are telling us the same thing, that wisdom comes from God. God is the source of wisdom. God is the one who is wise to be able to give us the wisdom that we need to be able to tell us the right things, to help us to make the right choices, the right decisions, so that we will, in all these areas of life, our words, our actions, our thoughts, our attitudes, our reactions, our purchases, our friends, our entertainment, our phone apps, our clothing, our hairstyles, our foods, and our family decisions, and our marriage difficulties, and the answers for our exams, all of these things, if we will come to God, every area of life, God is the source that can give us the wisdom that we need. We need to come to God because He is the source. Again, the Bridgeway Bible Dictionary reminds us of three important facts about wisdom that I want to share with you tonight, because I believe these are things that can be of help to each of us. Number one, they said that the basis of that wisdom, however, is not human cleverness, but obedient reverence for God. Right, so he says the basis for wisdom is not human cleverness, but obedient reverence for God. So God, again, is the source. He's the one we need to respect and fear in order to get the wisdom we need. They also said that God is the source of true wisdom, and He gives it to those who seek for it. So he says God's the source of wisdom, and He gives it to those who seek it. The third statement they make, this godly wisdom is available to all who are prepared to leave the folly of their self-centered ways and accept it from God. Right? We must be prepared to leave the folly or the foolishness of our self-centered ways and accept this wisdom from God. So, again, God is the source. God is the one who can give us wisdom. God is the one who can provide wisdom for us. It is only through God. Now, we get wisdom from God's Word. Right? So, God is the one who gives wisdom. He has recorded wise things in the Bible for us. The Bible is full of wisdom. We find a lot of wisdom right here in the book of Proverbs. It is full of wise things that will help us to make wise and right choices in life. And that's why I urge you to spend time daily going through some portion of Proverbs, because Proverbs is full of wise sayings. Things that will guide us and give us instruction in wisdom and intelligence and skill in making right choices based on God's Word. And so, in the Bible, we need to spend time every day in the Bible and be determined to get God's wisdom. You know, as we in our hearts determine, I want to have God's wisdom. I want what God wants. I want to learn what God wants for my life so I can make wise decisions. Then we need to spend time in the Bible. One of those verses in Proverbs that speaks of wisdom is in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. Just a page or so over in your Bible there. But it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So Solomon is speaking to his son. He says, son, you need to get wisdom. You need to get wisdom. And that is a challenge to all of us. We need to get wisdom, but we get it from the Bible, because God speaks to us through His Word. And so it's through the Bible that we're gaining the wisdom of what God said. You know, if God is the source and God's Word is here for us and it tells us what God wants us to know, then by studying the Bible, we can gain wisdom from God through the Scriptures. Now, don't just read the Bible out of duty. We need to dig for the treasures. We need to dig for treasures. We're in chapter 2 of Proverbs. Look at verse 1. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her for as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So he's saying here that we need to seek it. We need to search for it. We need to search for it like we search for hid treasure. And he said if we do that, we will then find the knowledge of God, because God is the one who gives wisdom. And so we can get our wisdom if we will search for it. Now, when we're studying the Bible, several things to keep in mind. When you come to a word you don't understand, you got two options. You can either skip it and just forget it, or you can look it up. And the right thing to do is to look up those unknown words. If you don't know where to look them up, then write it down and ask me about it later. Or, you can find some of them in just a regular dictionary that can give some help. But Bible dictionaries can give help as well. But we need to look them up. If you've got a Bible program that you're using, that is an excellent place to look them up. Whether it be the Word or eSword or mySword or some other Bible program, you can look up the words and it'll give you the definitions. Also, read the cross references. When you're reading through a verse and you see a verse that it speaks to your heart and you think, oh, there's some things there I need to learn. Well, then look up other verses that deal with that. You know, and you can do that. Good Bibles would have a concordance in the back where you can look up the word and it'll give you other places in the Bible where the same word is found. You can do the same thing in even a more effective way in a Bible software program. You can look up those cross references. Some Bibles actually have cross references in the center or on the sides or underneath, and you can look up those and it'll help you with other verses that look that deal with the same material. So we need to look up the unknown words, follow through and look up some of these cross references, and then meditate on the treasures you found. When you find something that was especially good, you say, that is something I need. I need to work on that. Then meditate on that. Think on that. Write it down. And meditate on it. I have found that it really helps to just write it out. I write mine in my Bible software program, and then I have them there on every verse. You know, when I've gone over it, I've got it there to look at it another time. You can write it in a diary. You can write it in a book. You can write it in a notepad. But write it someplace where you're not going to lose it, and that you can go back over and meditate on it at other times. Then another thing that is a great help is to make verse cards and work at memorizing verses that'll help you. You know, as you're going through the book of Proverbs and you find a verse and you say, that is something I've got to work on. And you take that verse and you write it on a card and say, God, please help me to memorize this. And then you review it again and again and again and again and again. And it doesn't have to be in the book of Proverbs, but anything in the Bible. You know, we're working on trying to memorize as a congregation, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. And so those are verses. Write them out on a card and review them. They will give you wisdom. They will give you direction. Speaking of those verses, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, 22 are verses that give us wisdom. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Those three things right there prove all things. God's saying the wise thing to do is to prove things, test things before you do them. Hold fast that which is good. So the wise thing is to hang on to the good things you've learned and don't let them go. And then abstain from all appearance of evil. He says that's the wise thing to do, to get rid of the things that appear to be evil and that aren't wholesome and they're not going to build you up. So we need to follow through with these things. So the memorizing verses that can be of help. And as I mentioned a moment ago, use a notebook. Write things down, or better yet, use Bible software. And I use the Word. Highly recommend that. It's a free Bible program. You can download off the internet at theword.net. And it's a great Bible program to use. It's extremely powerful. It's got loads of helpful things in it. And it can be a great help to you. Other people use eSword, which is very similar. And then if you just use your phone or a tablet, mySword for Android is an excellent little Bible program that will help you not just to read Bible verses, but to search. And there's you can put notes in it, and you can compare things, and you can look up things, and there's cross-references in it. It's an excellent little Bible program. It's just basically a mini Bible software like I use on the computer. And then there's another one that I'm not familiar with, but I've read a little bit about it. It's called eSword X, that apparently will work even on a Macintosh computer. So those are things that you need to look into. If you don't have a Bible software, get something like that, and then record your your daily principles in your study notes. It'll help you because then you can go back over and review them again. It can be a great help to you. Once you get going on that, it's a fantastic way of storing and remembering the things you've learned. So we need to get wisdom, and we get wisdom from God. All right, so God is the source of wisdom. We get our wisdom from God, and God's Word is the way that He reveals His wisdom to us. So by studying the Bible, we are gaining God's wisdom as we learn God's ways and God's thoughts and God's mind as He's recorded them for us in the Bible. And as I said, Proverbs is probably the one book of the Bible that has condensed more wise things than any other portion of the Bible. There's wisdom in all the Bible, but particularly in Proverbs, it's packed full of wisdom. Now, as we continue down in our text once again, we come to the third question, and that is, what will I gain by having wisdom? What will I gain? Well, we've already talked about how it can help us in these areas of choices, but in a practical way, what will we gain? Look with me now at verse number 10 again. When wisdom is entered into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. All right, so he says, when you got the wisdom and knowledge is in your soul, it's pleasant to your soul. He says, then discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. But then verse number 12, it says, to deliver thee. And then he gives us a list. All right, to deliver thee from the evil man. To deliver thee from the evil man. As he talks about the deliverance from the evil man, notice some of the things he mentions. I have highlighted five particular things that he had said that it will deliver us from regarding the evil man. Number one, it'll give us deliverance from the perverse speaking. Verse number 12, it says, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. The word froward there is a word that means perverse or improper or immoral. It's things that aren't right. They're improper things. So when you see that word froward, it's talking about something that is crooked or twisted or immoral or perverse or improper. And wisdom will keep us from saying words that are improper. You know, there's all kinds of words that I've heard Christians say that were not proper for a Christian to say. We need to think before we open our mouths. Don't say all the filthy things that the world says because that does not please God. So by having wisdom, it will help us to deliver us from the perverse or improper speaking. Number two, it will deliver us from the wrong paths that lead in ways of darkness. Look at verse 13. Who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness? All right, so he says, it'll keep us from these men that leave the paths of righteousness and walk in the ways of darkness. Now, to leave the ways of righteousness, the paths of righteousness, that's the right way. Righteous deals with that which is right in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what the world thinks, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It has to do with what God thinks and God knows. And so God says here, there's right paths and wrong paths. And he says that if you have wisdom, it'll deliver you from the paths of those who leave uprightness and they walk in the ways of darkness. So it'll lead us, keep us away from those paths that lead in dark, sinful activities. Number three, we say that the deliverance will be from those that rejoice to do evil. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. So they rejoice to do evil. There's all kinds of people today that rejoice in evil. They love dirty jokes and filthy movies and ungodly comedies and evil. They rejoice in that. They rejoice in murders and in the television shows and all the things that are ungodly and wicked and perverse and filthy. And God says that if we have wisdom, it will deliver us from rejoicing to do evil. We don't want to be involved in those that rejoice to do evil. We should be turn away from that. And at the end of the same verse, it says it'll deliver us from delighting in the perverseness of the wicked. Again, verse number 14, and delight in the frowardness or the perverseness or the improperness of the wicked. Those improper, immoral, ungodly things that the wicked do. It will deliver us from that. You know, Christians ought not to be involved in doing things that are improper and displeasing to God. And so it will deliver us from that if we have wisdom. And if we lack wisdom, we're going to be the fool and we're going to walk right into these traps and we're going to get involved in looking at things and laughing at dirty jokes and watching filthy movies and doing things that are ungodly, and it's going to hurt us and harm us in our walk. Now he says lastly, number five, he says it'll deliver us from the crooked ways that turn us aside. Look at verse number 15. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. They're crooked ways. They are froward ways that turn aside. They're twisted ways that are turning aside to other directions. You know, God's way is a straight and narrow, and the world's way twists and turns and goes all kinds of ways that are displeasing to God, and off onto this filthy thing, and off onto this immoral thought, and off onto this other train of thought that will lead us in the wrong way, twisted ways. And God says that if we have wisdom, then wisdom will deliver us from those who are involved in these crooked ways and the paths that turn us away from that which is right. But then notice he gives us another deliverance. Verse number 16, he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. So we saw up in verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil man. But now verse number 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. All right, so he's going to give us four clear deliverances from this strange woman. Now, what is a strange woman? Before we move on, we need to make sure we understand what we're talking about. Strange woman. A strange woman doesn't mean a weird one. It means a woman that is foreign to you. She's not your woman. She's not your wife. It usually refers to an immoral or loose woman. Not always, maybe, but almost always refers to one who is immoral and improper in her character and her actions and her morals. And so the strange woman, he says, if you're wise, it'll deliver you from her. Now, what's he say? First of all, notice in verse number 16, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. It'll deliver us from her flattery. Her words are smooth and slippery. They lure men into evil. They're flattery words. Words that are drawing men in the wrong direction. And so we need to be wise to see the words of that woman are leading me astray. I got to stay away from her. She's going to hurt me. She's going to harm me. She's going to lead me in the wrong direction. And then deliver thee from her unsubmissive lifestyle, verse number 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. All right, so she forsakes the guide of her youth. She has turned aside, forsaken, left behind the guide of her youth. What would it mean by the guide of her youth? A couple of different possibilities. It probably refers to her father's protection. It could refer to her first husband's protection. God has placed men over women to protect them, to help them, to guide them, to help them to be able to make right and wise choices. Men, we need to be wise. Now, women need to be wise as well, but men particularly, God has placed us in a leadership position, and we need to be wise to be able to lead those ladies in our lives. And this is a woman here, this strange woman, has forsaken the guide of her youth. She's forsaken that. She's turned away from the guide of her youth. She's unsubmissive in life. And she's now lives an unsubmissive life ruled by her own evil passions. You know, wisdom will keep you from this kind of a woman. Now, this isn't just talking to men. You know, ladies, you need to be careful. There's a lot of women out there that will lead you the wrong direction. They will teach you things that are ungodly. You'll watch their ways. You'll learn from their bad habits. You'll see things that they do that's going to cause you to be led astray. These women, this lifestyle of this strange woman is not healthy. You know, we need to stay away from it. If you know people that fall into this kind of a category of a woman who is loose in her morals and her actions, and she's not submissive to a husband, and she's not submissive to her father, or whatever the case may be, stay away from those kind. They are not going to help you. They are going to hurt you. And so God says wisdom will help us to do that. Wisdom also will deliver us from her rebellion against God. Again, the same verse number 17, it says, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She forgetteth the covenant of her God. That covenant that may be referring to the duty to obey God's laws, or it may be referring to her marriage vows that she made before God. Either one could apply, that she no longer follows the Word of God as her guide. She uses her own judgments as her guide instead of God's laws. Or it may be that she's just turned her back on her marriage covenant, and God is displeased with her because of her rebellion toward Him in this area. So it delivers us from that kind of a person who's rebellious toward God. And she's the kind of a woman that is promoting women's lib and promoting the immoral lifestyle. She's morally unfaithful. She's rebellious. And so we need to stay away from that, and we need wisdom to be able to observe that. So we can see a woman, if we have wisdom, we can say something's wrong there. I can see something not right in that person's life, and it ought to turn us away. And so the more wise we are, the more discerning we can be about people's character. Number four, it'll deliver us from her destructive end. Look at verses 18 and 19. For her house, this is a strange woman, her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. He said, if you follow that kind of lifestyle, you follow the women of this world that are immoral and ungodly and loose in their character and are rebellious and women's lib type people that are anti-God and rebellious against the Word of God, he says that's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to the dead. It's a one-way street. It's going the wrong direction, and it's headed toward missing eternal life. And so that's the end in the of her rebellious ways. And so wisdom can help us to avoid all of these kind of problems. Wisdom can help us to avoid all of these issues of the strange woman and all these issues of the evil man. And so we need wisdom. But then notice the great way that he ends it here. Verse number 20, tells us that wisdom will direct you in the good way. Verse number 20, if you have wisdom, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. He says, wisdom will help you walk in the way of good men, so that you've avoided the ways of evil men and you can walk in the ways of good men. You've avoided the ways of the strange woman, so that you can walk in the ways of good men and to keep the right paths of the righteous, so that you can walk in the ways that are right in the sight of God, and you can do the things that are good in the sight of God, and you can walk in the way of good men and good women to do what is right in God's sight. And he says we need wisdom to do that. And so we cannot do it in our own strength. It's not just a matter of making our own choices and thinking, I can tell who's good and who's not in my life, and I can decide what kind of actions are good and what's not. We live in a world that is relative. The world says it doesn't make any difference what you do. You can do whatever you want to do, because if you think it's okay, it's okay, and if you think it's wrong, it's wrong, and everybody's got their own opinion, and you can make your own judgment. That's the relative thinking of our world, and that is wrong. We need wisdom to be able to see through that, so that we can say, what does God say? And again, those memory verses, we need to prove all things. Run everything through God's Word as your guide and say, what does God's Word say about this? How should I make this decision? And the better we know the Bible, the better we'll have wisdom. You can't always just stop every moment and run back and grab your Bible and do a thorough search on a topic in order to find out how you're supposed to respond to a particular issue. So the better you know the Bible, the more wisdom you're going to have in your daily life. Now the bottom line is that each of us desperately needs wisdom. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Wisdom's not intelligence. It's dependence on God for guidance. Wisdom comes from God and is found in God's Word. As you study the Bible and dig for its treasures, you'll gain wisdom. However, we must apply God's Word to our daily life. We need to live wisely. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and yet he lived much of his life as a fool, in pleasures and lusts, because he did not apply the wisdom God gave him. Now, we need to apply the wisdom God gives us and not just have it in our head, but we need to apply it to our life. And so my challenge to you tonight is to ask God to help you to see the need for wisdom, to give you the determination to dig into the Bible and search for the treasures of wisdom, and spend quality time in the Bible so that you can gain the wisdom you need, and then realize that by gaining this wisdom, the great abundance of deliverance is going to deliver us from the evil man. It's going to deliver us from all those evil things that men do. It'll deliver us from the strange woman and all of the wickedness of that immoral lifestyle. And it will keep us going in the way of good men and keep us on the paths of righteousness. And so we need wisdom. Let's ask God for wisdom tonight, that we might be able to be the kind of a person God wants us to be. And you're going to get the wisdom by studying the Bible. So let's get into the book and study the Bible and ask God to give you wisdom.